Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide with the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2023, primary election day, spring primary election day here in the state of Wisconsin. Polls are open. I believe I may have said in my exuberance at the end of the last break until 11. Our show goes to 11 a.m. Polls are open tonight until 8 p.m. So be aware of that. Polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight. So get out and vote. Do your civic duty today. On the ballot, of course, at the top of the ticket today is the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And want to make sure that everybody is aware of that and gets out and enjoys it. Don't forget, there are four candidates on the ballot, two conservatives, two progressives. The former Justice Dan Kelly and Judge Jennifer Doyle are the two conservatives. And Judge Everett Mitchell and Judge Janet Protasiewicz are the two progressives. Only vote for one. We've had some confusion of callers over the last week. I understand how it can be confusing because we keep repeating on this show and others that the top two vote getters tonight will advance to face each other in the spring general election in April. And that's true. But to get there, each voter today, you and me, we only vote for one person of those four. So when you go into the voting booth today, if you haven't done it already, only vote for one of the four people for state Supreme Court. All right? Polls are open until 8 o'clock. Don't forget, you have to take your official valid Wisconsin state driver's license or an official valid Wisconsin state voter ID, also a valid U.S. passport, and a valid U.S. military ID. Work as well. If you have not registered already, Wisconsin is one of those states where you can still register at the polls. Take one of those official forms of ID that I just told you about, along with a utility bill, preferably more than 60 days old, or 30 days at least, that shows you've lived at that address. Take that. You can register at the polls. If you get there late tonight, just before 8 o'clock, if you're in line waiting to vote, and the clock strikes 8, you are still legally entitled to cast your ballot. So don't leave the line. Stay in the lines there. All right, and make sure you get out and do your civic duty today. Then join us later on as we will cover all the results for you beginning early. It's an extended Devil's Advocate program with Crudy and Dom from 6 until 7 tonight. They'll go through and the races and talk about some of those things. And then from 7 until 8, a special edition. It's As Goes Wisconsin Primetime with Kristen and Jane. They're going to get you ready, kind of preview the races, do some interviews. Should be a good time had by all. Kristen and Jane, As Goes Wisconsin Primetime from 7 until 8. And then 8 until whenever, it is News Director Terry Barr and myself here at the, pardon me, Terry Bell, at the news desk. And we will be here bringing you the results from across the state of Wisconsin, not just the Supreme Court race. Other races such as Madison Mayor, Racine Mayor, Green Bay Mayor, Outagamie County Executive, the big 8th State Senate District race down outside of Milwaukee, just north of Milwaukee. Of course, former State Senator Alberta Darling retiring, and so a primary on the Republican side to see who will face the Democratic challenger in the April ballot. So get out and vote. Again, polls are open until 8 o'clock tonight in the spring primary race. Making headlines on this 21st of February, 2023, on this Tuesday, a couple of headlines breaking. Here in Dane County, the village of Brooklyn has moved its polling place due to what officials said was an ongoing public safety threat. Instead of going to the community building, voters will now go to the public works building. Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald said village officials will request a court order to extend voting hours for those who are denied access because of the move. They were hoping to have that polling place set up by about 9:30 this morning. But already the first incident this morning of public safety threats to a polling place in the village of Brooklyn today here in Wisconsin. Also breaking across the CBS News wires, Representative Barbara Lee says she is now running for Senate in California. California Rep. Barbara Lee announced in a tweet moments ago that she's running for Senate in California. A week after, Senator Dianne Feinstein announced she will not be running for re-election in 2024. Quote, "Today I am proud to announce my candidacy for U.S. Senate," Lee wrote. "I've never backed down from doing what's right, and I never will. Californians deserve a strong, progressive leader who has delivered real change." She joins a growing field. Democratic Reps Katie Porter and Adam Schiff declared they would run for Feinstein's seat before she announced her retirement. House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi said she will support Schiff. So, making news this morning, Representative Barbara Lee of California throwing her hat into the ring for a U.S. Senate seat in the big state of California out west. Couple of headlines. President Joe Biden met President Vladimir Zelensky yesterday, reiterating U.S. support for Ukraine and announcing new military assistance and sanctions against Russia. A highly secretive visit, which took place as air raid sirens could be heard ringing out around Kyiv, comes at a critical moment in the 12-month conflict, with Russia preparing for an expected spring offensive and Ukraine hoping to soon retake territory. Winter storm moving across the United States, happening in the Pacific Northwest, moving through the Great Plains later on today, will affect most of Wisconsin by tomorrow night and Thursday, anywhere from 6 inches in the south to 24 inches up by Amory. Back with banning books in Florida and Wisconsin. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allbo Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allbo Show. It is now 15 past the hour of 10 o'clock, 10:15 on the time and temperature sign on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some good tunes there for you. I don't know if it's good news or not, but as we say, we like to pursue the truth wherever it may lead. And here's the thing. We hear about these book bannings, you're thinking, well, what the world is going on here, Todd? What's this really leading to? And I've told this story before. Back when I was in college at UW-Richland in the early 90s, had a great professor of library science, our librarian, James Galata. Great guy. And he used to do a display in the lobby of the campus library at UW-Richland every year during Banned Book Week. And he put up kind of like a brown paper on the display windows. And he'd make little like little slits or little tabs you could open up, sort of like little windows you could look in. And then in front of each of those little tabs, he'd have on pedestals behind the glass different books that had been banned over history. All right? And you look at it and you laugh. You laugh because you're like, that book used to be banned? Just innocuous books. I mean, well, of course, one of them was The Adventures of Mark Twain's book, Huckleberry Finn. You know? Books like that, just books that you would think, how could that be banned? But throughout history, they had been. And you thought, well, that's never going to happen again. And here we are in 2023 with Republicans, MAGA Republicans, banning books in this country. And a lot of these books that are being banned are books that have to do with kids coming of age, whether that's young girls who are approaching the period of their life where they start menstruating and having kind of those change of life things happen with them, whether it's kids trying to figure out how they were born and who they are in terms of orientation, whether it's kids that went through divorce of two heterosexual parents and who are now single-parent kids. Whether it's a kid that has a parent, two dads, or two moms. These are difficult things for a child to go through, not always because of their home life, but because of how they're picked on or teased on or bullied by by their fellow classmates. And so a book in a library offers a child the opportunity to sit in their own privacy and read something to which they can relate.
Yeah, just like we talked about with Will and Grace, representation in media is important. That includes for kids in school.
Exactly. And many of these kids don't have an opportunity anywhere else to find something they can relate to and read and think, hey, I'm not the only one. This is going to be okay. This is how I understand my world. And many of these mega Republicans who want to ban these books do so over the auspices that there might be one or two naughty words, quote unquote, in these books, a swear word. And, you know, I just don't get it, because as much as you may want to try to mollycoddle your child and create a bubble of purity around them, the reality is that ain't what's out there in the world. And I think it's a lot more difficult for a kid who's never been exposed to things in the world to suddenly get hit with it like a hurricane, rather than to experience it slowly over time. And then, sure, the parents can say, look, you might hear those words or certain things might be out in the world that our family doesn't agree with for whatever reasons, and here's why. And here's why but to say that you're never going to be around people who use a word or whatever, that you're just going to be locked in this purity bubble your whole life, my personal opinion is that's not preparing your child for the real world. So a lot of these Republicans just don't like it because of the content. And it's not, these books are not, it's certainly not pornographic or not filled, you know, not every other sentence is an F-bomb or anything like that. We're talking about books that help children grow. And who even in Florida, wanting to ban advanced placement classes on African-American history. I mean, what is up with that? Talk about cancel culture, right? Anyway, there's a story on CBS Saturday Morning. Great program. Enjoy it. About 2.5 minutes, we're going to play it for you in its entirety. We'll come back and explain it to you. And then we're going to relate it to another story that's happening right here in Wisconsin. So this was out this past Saturday on CBS This Morning regarding this policy by Governor Ron DeSantis, a Florida Republican, trying to remove books in Florida public school libraries. Here's the video, or pardon me, here's the audio from the CBS Saturday Morning report.
Jacksonville teacher Andrea Phillips specializes in helping third graders who struggle to read.
Without a diverse variety of books that represent my students, I can't get them interested in books.
Here's my book, Prison.
In January, as the state celebrated Literacy Week in schools, Phillips says she was told to pack up her classroom library.
We were being directed until all books could be vetted and we could be sure that we were in compliance with the state laws.
Duval County Public Schools, which includes Jacksonville, said it would conduct a formal review of all books. While that review is ongoing, classrooms and school libraries look like this. Under Florida's HB 1467 law, beginning this year, school books have to be reviewed by a media specialist to ensure they're free of pornography or certain race-based teachings. From kindergarten to third grade, the books must be free of instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity. The school district reminded educators violating parts of the law could lead teachers to be charged with a felony.
They've come for teachers over masks. They've come for teachers over books. Teachers have been called groomers.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed several new education laws that he says empower parents.
Floridians want our school system to be about educating kids, not indoctrinating kids.
Sixth grader Jonas Walter fears one of his favorite books may be banned from the classroom.
Because there's a boy who likes a boy in the series.
Stephanie Jorgensen Walter is his mother.
I think what the legislation is doing is trying to stoke fear that things are happening in the classroom that aren't really happening.
Phillips vows to continue her fight for as long as she can.
These all have to go.
So I have some health issues.
that I don't know how much longer I'll be in the classroom. It's very upsetting, and it's really hard for me to not just want to yell and scream about, you know, how crazy this whole situation is.
School libraries have thousands of books. Add to that classroom libraries, and often it's just one media specialist per school sorting through it all. For CBS Saturday Morning, Cristian Benavides, Jacksonville, Florida.
Thank you very much to Cristian Benavides there for that report from CBS. Very disturbing. What you couldn't see on radio, of course, was the video part of that. Shelf after shelf empty on books that are now banned in Florida by Governor Ron DeSantis. And you heard the young student. This wasn't a pornographic book. It was a book about kids' friendships, and one of the boys happened to like another boy in the book. That's it. Just liked him. Another one there on African-American studies. But this is the thing that's so disturbing, you guys, is that we're taking books from our kids simply based on some moral authority ground because we don't, these one group of people doesn't like them. We don't want to have any books that talk about anything but liking, you know, men liking girls and girls liking men. We don't want to have anything that's not white-based. If there's any sort of racial tones to it at all, putting black people or Hispanic people in a positive light, gone. I mean, what the heck is going on? I mean, this is authoritarianism 101. I'll repeat Matt Flynn's catchphrase. By the way, great program every afternoon, 3 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Flynn Direct, be there today. I'm sure it'll be a great show. Matt Flynn always reminds us, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Right? It doesn't happen in some big fell swoop. First, it's taking our books out of our public libraries. And if they get away with that, they try something else. If they get away with that, they try something else. Fascism creeps in a little cat's feet. A great line from Matt Flynn. Join him this afternoon at Matt Flynn Direct at 3 o'clock. So you say to yourself, well, what does that have to do with us here in Wisconsin? Let's see, Aaron, we got time for this next video. Okay, here's a report from Channel 3000 reporter, Channel 3, Catherine Merck, on a school board race right here in Boscobel, Wisconsin, just outside Richland Center in the southwest part of the state. And here's how it directly relates to a guy here in Wisconsin who wants to do something very similar. Here's the report from Channel 3000's Catherine Merck.
Turn to page 97 of Sherman Alexie's book, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. One of the most famous phrases from the piece says, "The world, even the smallest parts of it, is filled with things you don't know."
I have a daughter in high school right now.
One Baraboo School District parent who asked to be anonymous says it's this message that allows his Native American daughter to connect her culture to the classroom.
It's something that my daughter was able to relate to.
In the upcoming race for Baraboo School Board, this book and others are being targeted.
If I had a book in front of me and I read from it, we wouldn't be able to broadcast that over your airwaves.
James Hine is one of 8 candidates running for 3 open Baraboo School Board seats. On his campaign website that he shares with 2 other candidates, it states books like Sherman Alexie's have concerning adult content for the classroom.
We have a problem in the Baraboo schools, like I think many other schools are having, with children who are not behaving in a particularly civilized or dignified way. And that's at least partially explained by the materials to which they're exposed and they're consuming as part of the curriculum.
Other candidates have commented on Hine's online post. In a statement to News 3 Now, Angela Hanley called it, quote, a sign of authoritarian tendencies. The candidates' push to remove these books mirrors the right-wing push in Florida to ban hundreds of books from classrooms.
Floridians want our school system to be about educating kids, not indoctrinating kids.
I asked Heim if he wants to ban these books. His website calls for a removal. He told me that was only from schools.
It's not my business whether their parents want to, a child's parents want to provide access to that type of material, but rather what is available through the libraries in our schools.
So then that would thus mean not having those allowed in schools?
Potentially. I'd love to hear the argument as to why they should be allowed.
What's left for Baraboo voters is the argument this parent poses straight from the page. How much do the smallest things matter if they teach you something about the world you don't know?
That was Catherine Merck from Channel 3000 reporting. I made a mistake there. I think it's a basketball. I meant Baraboo. Pardon me. That's the old dyslexia working there. So it's a Baraboo school district. We'll talk about that more. Stay with us. Time for Tuesday Tangents with Luke after this on the Todd Allball Show. Show. It is now 10:33 on a Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2023. It is primary election day, spring primary election day. Polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight. Make sure you have your either Wisconsin valid ID, driver's license, a Wisconsin ID, which is different than a driver's license, but it has to be valid as well. Your U.S. valid passport, a military valid ID. One of those four things you have to have with you. If you are not registered, you can still do so today by taking one of those four documents with you, as well as like a utility bill, a light bill, or a water bill that's at least 30 days, better to have it 60 days old, and you can register at the polls. If you're in line at 8 o'clock, stay in line, because legally you have to be allowed your right to vote. So it is primary election day. We encourage each and every one of you to get out and vote. Just and hope to God that you have a friend like Luke Mathers here, a colleague, a friend, somebody who watches out for you. Because here I am preparing for the show today. I look at my Twitter, and there I'm being tweeted at by Luke, and he's saying, "Hey Todd, don't forget to go vote." See, that's fantastic. That's exactly what you want. And here joining us is the co-host of Dueling Tangents, Mr. Luke Mathers.
How are we doing today, Todd?
You know, I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go. How about you?
I was just trying to pump up the engagement on our socials. So I wanted to get everybody engaged on there. And I tagged you and Kristen Bry and Pat Krylow to make sure all of the hosts here at Civic Media have a plan to be voters today. And not just a plan to vote. I think it's very important to terminology when we're talking about civic engagement. And there's been studies done on this that you don't want to just yell at people to vote over and over again. You want to encourage people to be voters.
100%.
And because it's an action and it's something that you want to continue to do over and over and over again. And it's one of those things where if you're not used to voting, you don't do it. Especially when it's February. It can be a really weird... What? You're voting? I've talked to several people already today that were like, oh, thank you so much for reminding me I need to be a voter today. Because it's weird to participate sometimes in a spring primary in February. And that's what we do here in Wisconsin. And just encouraging people to be voters is what we would like to do here at Civic Media. And I was glad that you played along and you responded on the Twitter feed.
Thank you. And we appreciate the reminder. And one of the things you talked about earlier on this show this morning is, you know, I've said, look, I have my people I like to vote for. I mean, I think that Jenna Protasiewicz is the person to vote for today. But I said, even if you disagree with me, even if you're going to vote for one of the conservatives, go vote. We want voter participation. And we've talked about this a couple of times, still following the breaking story out of Madison, Dane County today. In the village of Brooklyn, just south of Madison, already authorities having to move the polling place this morning due to a public safety threat. We don't know what that is yet. We don't want to speculate too much, but apparently it was enough of a threat, a safety threat, that authorities decided they had to move the polling place. We're not able to open it until 9:30 this morning. Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald say they're going to go to the courts today to try to get an emergency order to extend voting there until 9:30 to make up for that. But that's just absolutely disturbing, Luke, when again, everyone, regardless of who they're supporting, should feel like they can go to their polling place in a a free and safe way. Yes. And very disturbing what's happening in the village of Brooklyn.
And a little update, Dane County Sheriff, and this is again from Scott McDonald, Dane County Clerk, he noted 37 minutes ago that the County Sheriff, Calvin Barrett, has informed him that the incident has been resolved and a man has been arrested for a disturbance. The village will stay at the current location at Windy Lane and will not move again. So it's at the new moved location. It will stay there. The disturbance has been resolved. But it is troubling to see. There was, I believe, in West Bend back in November, there was a similar incident where there was a disturbance at a polling location. And so we're seeing more and more of this, Todd. And it is a little upsetting that there are individuals out there thinking that it's okay to do something like this. I don't necessarily know what gets into the mind of individuals that go and create these disturbances. But it is an added hurdle for some individuals. If you go to your polling place and all of a sudden there is a situation going on that law enforcement or local authorities have been called to, that could deter you from voting. Because if there is not a quick and seemly move to a new location, you might not be able to come back. Maybe that was the only 15-minute period of your day that you had to vote. And so it is an upsetting trend to see more and more of these disturbances. But I'm glad to see that the local officials here in Dane County and for the village of Brooklyn to be able to quickly resolve it and have that new facility up and running and the disturbance handled.
Yeah, I very much appreciate the update.
I do have one comment on that. If we need to have special ways to prosecute people who commit voter fraud, maybe we need to have special ways to prosecute people who disrupt elections.
Do something to dissuade these people. Because again, to your point, Luke, doesn't matter who people are voting for today, everyone should feel safe and free and able to go and vote and exercise their constitutional right without being bullied or hindered or threatened.
Yeah, and make sure while you are being a voter today to thank the election officials, the local election officials, because here in Wisconsin, we have a very decentralized election system. And so there are clerks, local workers all around the state doing their civic duty, running these polling locations, and you should thank them because they're going out of their way. They don't have to do that. We're seeing an exodus of individuals that are signing up to be volunteers for these locations because of incidents like this in Brooklyn and in West Bend, I believe. I don't want to get it wrong, but I believe it was West Bend last November, to continue to have these instances and disturbances that would further have more clerks leaving the excellent work that's needed to conduct our elections securely and safely. It's kind of a weird thing. If you want to be like, oh, well, I think there's malfeasance here, but then you yourself as this disturbance are creating it a harder job. I don't quite understand the logic there, Todd, but I'm not going to get into the mind of those individuals again.
It's a disturbed mind.
Yes.
Speaking of disturbed mind, before the last break there, I did a couple of pieces, one from CBS Saturday Mornings on Governor Ron DeSantis and cracking down on these banning books in Florida. We had one young man there being interviewed saying the book was taken away simply because in this story, in this book, one boy liked another boy. We're not talking about pornographic material here. We're not talking about books filled with F-bombs or anything like that. They're just books that happen to talk about kids as they go through life and women or young girls, maybe their change of life, going through their menstrual cycle, maybe any child trying to just figure out the way they were born and their orientation. Could be a family that has either two dads or two moms or divorced kids. These are things that young people have to work through, and now books are being banned in Florida. We followed that up with a story here from Channel 3000 in Madison of a guy who's running tonight, James Han from Baraboo, running in the Baraboo School District, not too far from Richland Center here in southern Wisconsin. Baraboo, for those of you in Amory or Wausau, Baraboo is just south of the Dells. Here's a guy who wants to do the same thing in the Baraboo Public School District, take out books out of our public schools. And one of the kids there interviewed in that story was Native American. Talk about cancel culture.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, Luke.
Well, last fall, the Muskego, Norway district in southeastern Wisconsin wanted to prevent an English class in that district from reading about Japanese internment because it didn't give equal time to both sides of that argument. Can you believe that, Todd? Both sides of the internment?
That's shocking.
Something that the United States Supreme Court has ruled was illegal and paid reparations to the families that were illegally interned in those camps. And there's people that are like, oh, well, we didn't get both sides in this story. And it is mind-numbingly frustrating sometimes because the logic there that these individuals are saying, they want little government, but they want to be able to force what books you read. They want to prevent anything that they don't like from being taught in schools. And that's not what we are as a country. Mm-hmm. It's not. You don't have to agree with everything that is taught in a public school, but that does not mean that you go and then try to censor it as a government official, a part of a school board, because that is against the First Amendment. Like, these classrooms, and Florida, I think, is a canary in a coal mine in a lot of regards. And so for Florida to have these videos where teachers are scanning the classrooms and showing these empty bookshelves, because they don't want to be caught with something that was not approved by this new government board that Ron DeSantis, Republican governor of Florida, is creating to regulate what is taught in classrooms. They're just saying, okay, we're wiping the slate clean, and you tell us what we can put here.
Because they're threatening, literally threatening, I mean, part of the punishment is possibly jailment, putting people in jail, teachers in jail, for having a quote-unquote banned book on their shelf.
Yeah.
And I mean, as if educators didn't have enough to worry about today.
Yeah. And so it is really disturbing to see that this is happening here in Baraboo. But if you're paying attention, unfortunately, this is something that has already popped up in several different, in Muskego, Norway, the Mequon-Thiensville School Board incorporated a lot of what was being taught and claiming that CRT was being taught when it wasn't in those school districts. There was a whole recall. There was thousands of dollars spent on recalling school board members that was just over grievance politics. And in a lot of regards, identity politics. And it's the individuals on the far right that are trying to wage this identity politics and then claim at the same time that it's the left that only plays identity politics. Oh, no, we just want to regulate your books. We want you to report your menstrual cycles. We want you to do all these weird things that the far right Republican elected officials. And this isn't Republicans. This is Republican voters, I don't think, overwhelmingly want this stuff.
Agreed.
This is a very far fringe of elected officials. And so it can sometimes be hard to talk about these things because when you jump and you say it's Republicans or it's Democrats, people jump to their sides. They circle the
That's
wagons
a great point.
And they don't want to, they feel attacked almost. And they don't actually get the information then about who's trying to do what.
Right.
And so, yeah, we should be calling out this school board candidate. It needs to be talked about, but this is not a common sense approach to education, and the fact that people like this are getting more and more platforms is something we absolutely have to keep an eye on.
Another reason to go out and vote in Baraboo today. If you don't want that to happen in your community, get out and vote for a school board. Article on National Public Radio from them, where in response to more than 1,500 books challenged to be removed from libraries in the last year, the New York Public Library launched an effort to make some banned books available for everyone for free. Mm-hmm. Now, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, fighting back a little bit and giving people a choice, giving them an option, because to your point, a lot of these books are just helping people through their lives and giving, exposing. One of the great things, I think, in my illustrious college career, and I say that facetiously, if you look at my academic record, the two best things about college, three best things, broadcasting, learning how to write, although my former cohort Tom Jackson in the Schultz office did a lot of that as well. But my professor Jim Sterno teaching me how to write. But number three, as the University of Wisconsin says, the winnowing and sifting of ideas.
Yeah.
That you're exposed to things that you hadn't heard before, you hadn't experienced, and it challenges yourself to find out who you really are.
Yeah. If you are just born and raised in an echo chamber where you, so say for my example, if I only read literature by straight white men, my reading list would be very, very short compared to what I need to read more, right, in all honesty. But just the fact, my favorite book is written by Mary Shelley. Frankenstein is probably still my favorite novel. Mm-hmm. And the the cautionary tale that that story tells, I think, is very applicable to a lot of different things. Brian and I like to joke that it was Michael Gableman and Robin Voss last year during that whole saga. But I love that story, and that story was not written by somebody that looks like me or anything remotely to me. It was written by a young woman who really kicked off the science fiction genre. Right. And so if you're not reading things that are written by... stories that are written by people that don't look like you, you're going to live a very sheltered life, and that's not a fulfilling life, in my opinion. And so when these people are trying to regulate these books that are being taught in school, it is always the first question that comes to mind, Todd. Do you think they even read these books?
Probably not, no.
Do you think they're even aware of the content that they're trying to ban? Or are they simply just jumping up to an arms race of, oh, I can play the most identity politics and I can get some books banned. I think I could do that. And it's just frustrating because I don't even think they're aware of the content they're trying to censor.
I think that what you just did is answer the question that this Yahoo for school board up at Baraboo, James Hain, asked at the end of the piece. He said, I'd like to hear the argument for keeping these books here. Well, you just made it, Luke, and yeah. You made it very, very well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Luke will be back with us in our next segment. Stay with us. We'll talk about exciting news from Civic Media after this on the Todd Allbolt Show. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Todd Allbolt Show. It's now 10:50. That is 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me just tell you something now. If you have never taken the time at 11 o'clock, actually 11:06, to tune your dials in to Civic Media, today is the day. You understand? Because there's a great program. I can't imagine anybody who hasn't heard it. But just for those who haven't, tune your radios in or go to the stream. Download the Civic Media app. At your app store, type in Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, that's Civic as in civics class. Civic Media, it's free, takes less than a minute, won't cost you a dime. You download that puppy, and then you go over to other stations, and click other stations, and go to W-A-U-K, Waukesha, at 11 o'clock. Not now. We want you to listen to us for right now. But at 11 o'clock, I'll dang it.
Anytime between 11 and 11:06, you right. Make the switch.
I'll go over to the Shaw. Who came up with that idea? That's a great name for a radio station. Well, would it be our operations director, Luke Mathers? I don't know, perhaps.
Honestly, it was an easy one. That was a no-brainer.
That was very good.
I thought. I worked there for some time, and everybody I... worked with while I was working in Waukesha referred to it. It was like, oh, are you in the Shaw today? Or are you elsewhere? Because I was a little remote, kind of. Yeah. I had a couple different. I still had my apartment here in Madison. Significant other. She was in Milwaukee. So I kind of rotated a lot, but everybody would ask me, oh, are you in the Shaw today for work? And so I always referred to Waukesha as the Shaw. And so when we had the opportunity to start WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, and we were going to put a studio downtown Waukesha, it was a no-brainer.
And so now you got the Shaw, and at 11:06, mm-hmm. You've got As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jay Matt Nair. Great team, great coverage, always make you smile, keep you informed. So listen to As Goes Wisconsin with our friends Kristen and Jane coming up just after the news at 11 o'clock. And then, Luke, if that wasn't enough, as Chris Berman would say, tonight at 7 o'clock, it's As Goes Wisconsin prime time.
It's a bonus hour.
It is a prime time edition of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen and Jane between 7 and 8 tonight. Preceding that, an extended version of Devil's Advocates from 7 to 8 with Crudy and Dom. And then at 8 o'clock, our news director, Terry Bell, and myself will be at the anchor desk with all of our news coverage of the special spring primary election tonight. So join us tonight starting at 6 with an extended Devils, then 7 to 8 As Goes Wisconsin, and 8 until whenever, until the cows come home, until we have results. I have my cot ready, so we'll be sleeping
here. Sleeping bag in the back? There you go.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
So, yeah, that's what's going on across Civic Media. And, of course, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, unless you're on Bull Falls Radio, WXC. CEO. You have the great Chad Holmes, the Chad Holmes Show from 2 until 4. Across the rest of the civic media, you have Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly. Always interesting, always going down a rabbit hole of information and entertainment.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. Brian will be indisposed this afternoon, so it's just me. Right. But I will be joined at 2:30 by Corinne Hendrickson. She is a small business owner in southeastern Wisconsin, or excuse me, southwestern Wisconsin, doing childcare. And so she is a member of Main Street Alliance. She's going to be coming on at 2:30 to talk with me about the Evers proposal last week for paid leave to be included in the upcoming biennial budget and what that would mean for an industry like hers, for small business employers like herself, and just individuals in the care community and individuals that provide that kind of leave time for, because she does childcare. And so a lot of people, if you don't have paid leave, you still have to go and find somebody to look after your children. And so the complex dynamics of what a paid leave policy by 2025 could mean for the state of Wisconsin, Corinne and I are going to have that conversation. I'm really looking forward to it at 2:30. And then following that, Matt Flynn Direct. 3 to 4.
Gets right into it.
Just gets right into
it. Lines are open. You're not woke if you don't know history. Matt Flynn Direct at 3:06. It's a great show.
A little Johnny Cash for you in your afternoon commute. Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. As all of our shows and Dueling Tangents as well. Want to talk a little bit about all these fine shows are going to be available even more widespread across the great state of Wisconsin. Big news on Friday, our operations director, you wear many hats, but it's our operations director, Luke Mathers, enlighten us on what all is happening here at Civic Media.
Yeah, we've got some new markets. As we've been alluding to, 2023 is going to be a big year. If you were paying attention to where some of the holes were in the coverage map, those holes are going to be filled in with some new radio signals in the coming future. So we really excited to announce last week, at the end of last week, that Eau Claire, La Crosse, Racine, Kenosha, get ready. Because Civic Media stations are coming to a town near you.
Giddy up, baby.
Yeah. So we're really excited. We're still afraid of the Hodag. So Rhinelander, once we solve the Hodag question of if it is truly a monster up there or if it's just, you know, fiction, then we can see about getting maybe some facilities farther up there in the northeastern portion of the state. But the new coverage map for coming soon is really exciting. You can check that out at civicmedia.us, our website. You can see that upcoming coverage map, and it's filling in the state pretty nicely, Todd.
It's going to be really, really exciting. Hayward coming online soon as well, kind of waiting for all the technical things to
There's like 2 feet of snow about to be dumped on that one. That may delay a little thing.
We were talking to Kara from Weatherology. By the way, Luke got us Weatherology. We thank you for that, for having that live weather coverage every morning now at 8:30 here on the show. It's real. It's legit. Like Amory. 2 feet of snow.
Amory, Hayward, everybody. The Twin Cities getting, 3 feet of snow, possibly?
It's ridiculous.
It is going to be one of those winter storms that is something to watch here in southern Wisconsin. It seems like it's going to be just kind of February as usual, but up in the northern portions of the state, it seems like we're going to get a lot of snow.
It's going to be very, very snowy indeed, but it's going to be great to have Hayward on the line soon, and then we're going to have, as you said, Eau Claire and La Crosse, Racine and Kenosha, so all those cities will be covered by Civic Media, and pretty darn exciting to have all that statewide coverage.
Yeah.
What else is on your mind here, Luke? It's kind of like open, I was going to say open Friday, I'll call it open Tuesday. Is there anything else?
It's a tangent Tuesday.
It really is a tangent Tuesday. Anything else on your
I want to plug yesterday's show of Dueling Tangents as well. You were very gracious and joined me for the hour. So if anybody missed that, you can go check out the podcast for Dueling Tangents yesterday. It was an excellent show. They all fly by, but we got to discuss the President's Day. I still think the coolest story that I haven't been able to read enough about yet is that train ride from Poland to Kyiv and back. And just how badass that is.
I know, right?
That is such a Biden way to travel very, very covertly, apparently. Like, it went off without a hitch, right?
10 hours. The President of the United States takes a train 10 hours one way.
Do you think he was playing euchre with the Secret Service
guys? I don't think Tony Evers was on the train.
Yeah, it's not an East Coast one.
And thanks to Luke, because I went on the air after the train thing was announced, so we appreciate him bringing that news. Yeah. Appreciate you as always, Luke Mathers, on Tuesday Tangents, and we'll see you at 2 or hear you at 2 o'clock this afternoon across Civic Media on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Thank you, Todd.
We appreciate you. Thank you very much, sir. Great show today. We appreciate Luke being here. Mr. Aaron Zommers is always our producer and engineer. Don't forget, tomorrow we have Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project live in the studio here in Madison. And much, much more. We'll give you results of the election tomorrow morning as well. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying, make it a great day across the state of Wisconsin. This is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Don't forget, keep banging on your drum.